Monday, April 1st, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Monday to you, and hey, do not forget, happy April Fool's Day to you as well. Now, let's talk just a little bit about this dumb day before we get going into a ton of things we have to cover today. Because if you're in the USA, April 1st here is a day where people like to pull pranks, people like to spread false information, and here's the thing, harmless pranks, I get it, knock yourself out. Yes, everyone will hate you, but those are no big deal. Here's an example for you, and I'm not an April Fool's guy, I'm just not, but 1 year on April 1st, the printer at the office I was working at was down. So I posted a sign above the printer at that company that said, printer responds to verbal commands only. And people were walking up to it and trying to print things and then leaning up and saying, print two copies, please. And then I was kind of near the printer. So I'd say, you have to say it like louder. You got to say it like clear and like loud. Print two copies, please. See, that's harmless. Who cares? But what you do not do on this day is the silly stuff like saying you've been kidnapped, telling someone their loved one has died. Don't go putting the toothpaste in the Oreos or the saran wrap on the toilet. Gross stuff like that. We don't need those things. That's disgusting. Don't hurt anyone. Don't make anyone cry on April Fool's Day. And on the other side of things, be very skeptical of everything you're being told today. Treat everyone like an NBA referee. Yeah, you might have said that, but I don't believe anything you're telling me. I'm going to wait and find out for myself once I see the replay. Because I don't trust you. You're just an NBA ref to me. Don't fall for things like your favorite team making a big move today. Because it probably isn't true. By the way, horrible day to like make a big trade. Because no one's going to believe it, even if it is true. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your best April Fool's prank. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go over and find us on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports, and it doesn't have to be April Fool's related. Maybe you've got a list you would like us to cover. Maybe you have a question for us. We do get a number of questions over on Facebook or Twitter where someone will just reach out and say, hey, what about this? Hey, what did you think about this game or this move? Reach out to us. We would love to hear what it is that you have to say. We'll always take the time to give you an answer. We just might end up using it on the show as well. Also, be sure to stop by tpublic.com. The Daily Dose I-Team is our investigative team here at The Dose. And I don't know how they do it, but somehow they track down some of the biggest scoops, some ultra-secret audio, a ton of highly classified information, and they give it to us here at The Dose. We have Daily Dose I-Team gear over at tpublic.com. And you know, we probably should talk about this real quick. Our Daily Dose Tournament Bracket Challenge is going to award the winner with a Daily Dose t-shirt. And while we're kind of on the subject of TeePublic, we're going to get a t-shirt from TeePublic. And whoever wins it, we're going to ship you that t-shirt. Now that we are to the Final Four, here is what we have standings-wise of who is going to get a Daily Dose t-shirt. In first place right now is a bracket called That One Bracket, and their champion is still there. In second place is Jacob G. Their champion is not still there. In third place, That Boy Luke. They still have their champion available. In fourth place, Jay Moore. They still have their champion available. And tied for fifth place, we have myself. Yes, I'm not shipping myself a t-shirt, by the way. If I did win it, yeah, I'm not doing that. Erica St. James is tied for fifth, and Travis G is tied for fifth. Just want to throw that out there. Whoever comes out on top of our Daily Dose bracket is going to get a Daily Dose t-shirt sent to them. Erica St. James won it all last year. For some reason, I'm a little bit skeptical. I have a feeling that Big Rob had some input on some of her picks. I don't know about that. We might have to ask Big Rob about that. But hey, you don't have to win the Daily Dose bracket to get a t-shirt. Head over to tpublic.com, search Daily Dose, and scroll down until you see our logo, and there you will find a number of Daily Dose items that you can pick up. Hey, today on the show, like we do on many Mondays, we are going to be recapping what we learned from a wild weekend in sports. And I seriously do. I know we say it every week. I hope you were able to watch a number of the sporting events that were out there this weekend. The college basketball tournament was rolling. both the men's and the women's. NBA basketball was going. We had a ton to watch this weekend, and I hope you were able to take part of it. But let's jump right in, because we have so much to get to today, and let's get to that NCAA men's tournament. Because the first thing that we learned was for that, as much as people were saying, yeah, this tournament, I don't know, it's not that great. There haven't been that many great games. The first round, there haven't been that many close games. Not really that many upsets. It's been an okay tournament. Yeah, the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8 were absolutely phenomenal. Well-played games, close, competitive games. Of the 12 games that were played in the third and the fourth rounds of this tournament, 8 of them were decided by less than 6 points, and 3 of them went into overtime. Hey, like I said, I know a lot of people were looking at those early rounds of the NCAA tournament, and they were saying, well, there weren't that many upsets. There weren't that many, you know, buzzer beaters. It's not that good of a tournament. Yeah, it has still been a very, very good tournament. And the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8 were phenomenal. I hope you got to watch some of those games. We're going to be recapping them. But what a great last, basically, 4 days of college hoops that we have seen. And I can't wait for the Final Four, because that is now set now. And first up, we need to talk about the biggest story coming out from that NCAA tournament, because we learned that the Duke Blue Devil freshmen, yeah, they were kind of playing on borrowed time, and it just finally caught up with them yesterday, and brackets were busted in the process. After scraping past Central Florida and just getting by Virginia Tech, Duke finally ran into a team yesterday in the Michigan State Spartans that didn't get rattled. They didn't choke a layup away with the game on the line, you know, like some other teams did. The Spartans took the best shot that Duke had to give, and they answered the bell and came out on top. Michigan State beats the Duke Blue Devils 68-67 as they capitalized on 17 Duke turnovers. I told you, Duke turns the ball over too much. And they went inside against them, and they wore Duke out. That lack of depth, you could see, really hurt Duke late. They were tired. They were hanging on their shorts. Michigan State point guard Cassius Winston, he's just so smart. He's just so savvy. But notice I did not say he's just so athletic. He's just so quick, because he's not. He moves like an old man, but he's just smart. And he does have that old man game to him. He has no speed. You look at Cassius Winston, I bet he can't outrun too many people. But you know what? He got past Duke point guard Trey Jones again and again, and Trey Jones is a pretty good defender. Cassius Winston somehow scored 20 points. How is he able to get into the paint again and again? He doesn't have any speed. He just has smarts. He just has intelligence. He just knows how to play basketball. Tom Izzo's squad battled for every single possession, and late in the game, yeah, it looked like Duke was inexperienced. They scored exactly 1 point in the final minute 44 of that game. And with the game on the line, stud freshman RJ Barrett couldn't make 2 free throws to possibly send the game into overtime. Zion Williamson was great. He had 24 points. He had 14 rebounds. But aside from him and RJ Barrett, who had 21, no one else did anything for the Duke Blue Devils. They didn't have any depth, and they didn't have anyone that stepped in and made big plays. Aside from those 2 guys, it was just them. Williamson and Barrett were not good enough to carry Duke when it mattered. The Michigan State system beat the Duke AAU All-Stars, and what we were told was the most talented class in history. Yeah, they're not even going to get to the Final Four. Michigan State beats Duke. You know, we also learned that the more the NCAA tournament changes, the more it kind of stays the same, doesn't it? And to help me present my case, I do have that Duke-Michigan State game, but I also present to you the Auburn Tigers. Look at Auburn. I don't even know if they're really that good. On Friday night, they lost leading rebounder Chuma Okeke to a blown ACL, which is obviously a horrible story. You hope that Chuma is going to be able to come back. You hate to see these kids get injured playing college ball. You hope he can come back next year and maybe still do something. But with Okeke out, I am looking at Auburn, and I'm going, okay, but all they really have is their 2 really good guards. They have Bryce Brown, and they have Jared Harper. But you know what? When you have good guards, and we see this a lot, especially in this tournament, that just might be enough to carry you. I'm watching Auburn on Sunday against Kentucky. And at this level, the guards have the ball in their hands so much, Kentucky just couldn't stay with them. Brown and Harper combined for 50 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 6 steals. They completely outplayed Kentucky's guards. And once again, yeah, Kentucky coach John Calipari probably got roughed up a little bit by Bruce Pearl, and Kentucky goes out in a game yesterday that, when I'm looking at the lineups, Kentucky's more talented. Kentucky is better. There were two problems. I think Bruce Pearl is probably better than John Calipari, and I think Auburn's guards are better than Kentucky's. Hey, that is a theme for this year's tournament, because Michigan State's guard kind of outplayed Duke's guard as well. You can have the best bigs. You can have the great power forwards and the dominant centers. But in basketball, you had better have good guards, because they handle the ball on every play. They are the quarterbacks on every single play. And we saw yesterday with Auburn specifically, their quarterback was better than Kentucky's quarterback. And as a result, Auburn is going to the Final Four. Hey, coming back, we still have a ton to get to today. Like I said, that Final Four is now set. We may have seen the greatest game of the tournament so far this weekend, and one college basketball team is making history right now. Might not be exactly who you're thinking of. And one Major League Baseball player, he might need to think about giving it up. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, whether it's for yourself, maybe you have birthdays coming up, maybe you have holidays coming up, just remember, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. April's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Showdown. When the time for talking is over and there are scores to be settled, these pop culture heavy hitters are always ready for a showdown. Hey, join us as we celebrate iconic battles with epic gear. April's Loot Crate theme features items from Captain Marvel, Aquaman, and Godzilla, King of the Monsters. But remember, if none of those franchises interest you, you can always go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a selection of crates. You can get a monthly subscription of crates that'll arrive in your mailbox every month. Or you can just go over there and order individual items. And remember, they have a ton of things in any franchise that you can think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order, just as a little thank you for listening to the Daily Dose. So let's continue with what we learned over the weekend in sports, and we learned a number of things. And staying in that NCAA tournament, we learned that the Virginia Cavaliers have bounced back. After becoming the first number one seed in NCAA history to lose to a 16 seed last year, the Virginia Cavaliers have become one of the best stories in the tournament. They grind their way to the Final Four. And I'll be the first to admit, it was not always pretty. Virginia struggled in their first game. In the round of 64, they struggled. They had to make a second half comeback against Gardner Webb. Okay, but they got past Gardner Webb. Then they beat Oklahoma in the second round. Then, late last week, they had to come from behind again to beat number 12 seed Oregon. Is Virginia going to do anything this year? I don't know if they're going to survive. And on Saturday, Virginia had to come back yet again. This time, they were down by 3 with 5.9 seconds left, but they were shooting free throws. Virginia guard Ty Jerome was at the line shooting 2. So he makes the first. Then he runs the play that never works. Ty Jerome intentionally misses the second free throw. The ball was tipped into the backport, where point guard Kihei Clark had the presence of mind to gather it up, look up the floor, and not just chuck up a half-court shot, but push the ball up to a teammate. He looks forward, makes a long pass to big man Mamadi Diakite. Here is a clip of that insane play, courtesy of TBS.
2-point game. Jerome, short, back tap, Diakite, a race for it, into the hands of Clark, got a chance to win it here, up the front is Diakite for the win, and goes! For the tie, Diakite squares it at 70!
the Virginia Cavaliers somehow go on to beat Purdue in overtime. They advance to the Final Four for the first time since back in 1984 when they had a guy by the name of Ralph Sampson playing for Virginia. Great comeback story this year for the University of Virginia. Hey, don't forget, a number of the kids on this team had to hear all the talk last year. You lost to a 16. No one's ever done that. You made history in the worst kind of way. We knew it was a matter of time before a 16 beat a 1. But these kids had to live with that all offseason. They have somehow bounced back and Virginia goes to the Final Four. Hey, I'll be honest. I'm very, very happy for that team and I'm very happy for head coach Tony Bennett. By the way, we also learned that for all of the talk about Duke and North Carolina and Gonzaga and all those different teams, that Virginia-Purdue game, it was the best game of the tournament so far. Both well-coached teams. Both teams got huge performances from a number of players. Of course, Purdue got an absolutely incredible performance from guard Carson Edwards. He went completely unconscious against Virginia. He goes 10 of 19 from three-point range. He scored 42 points on the night. Virginia got 25 points from Kyle Guy, and they got 24 points from Ty Jerome. And of course, maybe the biggest play he made all night was that missed free throw. Purdue versus Virginia was a heavyweight fight. Both teams landed blow after blow. If you watched that Virginia-Purdue game on Saturday night, you definitely got your money's worth. That was an instant classic. We also learned this weekend that for all of the high scoring that we saw from Gonzaga this year, and the big name that Michigan has, and the length and the defense that Florida State has, it's none of those teams going to the Final Four. No, it's the Texas Tech Red Raiders that are coming out of the West Regional and making their first Final Four appearance in school history. Hey, Texas Tech head coach Chris Beard, he has this team playing a tenacious, disciplined, controlled brand of basketball. Here's a challenge to you. Show me one player that plays for Texas Tech that could possibly play for Duke. No chance. They don't have anyone like that. But you know what they do have? They have a group that executes in the clutch. They play nasty, physical, tough defense. They take care of the basketball. They get to the free throw line and they make their free throws when they get there. They take good shots. They shoot a high percentage as a result. I know that the AAU style of fast break, freelance offense, without much structure, and just fly around on defense and hope for the best. I understand that that is really popular right now, and I get it. As a coach, a lot of times, it's much easier to recruit that way. It's much easier to get those five-star recruits when you say, well, what do you run on offense? And we're just going to kind of let you do whatever you want. We know that you're just so creative and you're so good, we don't really have to run much of anything. And yet, we see a team like Texas Tech remind us that, you know, if you run a good system and you actually execute, you can win games in this tournament. And more important, you can beat teams that are more talented. Again, I look at Texas Tech and I look at Gonzaga. Who's more talented? Gonzaga definitely looks like the better team. Texas Tech beats them. And it's interesting, in the Final Four that we have, we are seeing four teams that run quality systems over maybe the big name recruits, and they are the ones that are getting through to the Final Four. We also learned that for all of the good play they had shown in the early part of this tournament, yeah, I hate to say this, but the North Carolina Tar Heels, they are who we thought they were at the beginning of the year.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
And they got smoked over the weekend. I had talked about the Tar Heels on Friday, saying how much better they had looked lately in the tournament. They blew out Iona. They blew out Washington. They were just making it look so easy. But you kind of forget about all the flaws that the Tar Heels had. And they had shown them earlier this year. They didn't always play defense. They allowed opposing point guards to get into the paint and just wreak havoc. They could be forced into taking bad shots. Sometimes they kind of checked out. They didn't always feel like playing hard. Maybe they played a little bit selfish. And in fact, earlier this season, I had said here on the show, if you are cheering for Carolina, yeah, you're probably not going to be very happy at the end of this year because I don't think they're a real contender. I think they're more of a pretender. But then you see them in the tournament. They're so talented. It's hard not to kind of go, oh man, they might just win this whole thing. But on Friday night against Auburn, every flaw that the North Carolina Tar Heels had, yeah, we could see them all. Carolina allowed 97 points to Auburn, The Tigers shot 55% from the field. Carolina turns it over 14 times. They committed 16 fouls. They went 7 for 28 from three-point range. Kids, they shot 25% from three-point range. That is not good. By the way, Texas Tech, Virginia, Michigan State, and Auburn, the ACC is not in the Final Four. I did not think that was going to be the case as we went into this tournament. Moving over to the women's side of the NCAAs, we did learn this weekend that the Connecticut Huskies women's program, they are on a tear that honestly, it is historical and I don't think it's ever going to be matched. The second seeded Connecticut Huskies held off number one Louisville 80-73 on Sunday in the Albany Regional Final. They advanced to get this their 12th straight Final Four. 12 straight? 12 years in a row, Connecticut has gone to the Final Four. The last time the women's tournament had a Final Four without Connecticut in it was back in 2007. The Huskies were 35-2. They have won 6 national championships in that run. They had a 111-game winning streak during that run. They're going to try to reach the title game for the first time in 3 years because they've lost on last-second shots in the past 2 semifinals. But, you know, I'm looking at Connecticut and head coach Gino Auriemma, and I am really thinking of UCLA and John Wooden. And it was an era for UCLA where maybe the rest of the country just didn't have what they had, and they were all playing catch-up. There wasn't the depth. There weren't the number of strong teams every single year that could contend and compete and maybe knock you off. And I'm looking at Connecticut right now, and it looks really, really similar. Connecticut is so good, but there's only 2, maybe 3 other teams out there that maybe even have a chance to beat them every year. Now, I think it can change. I think we're going to start seeing women's programs catching up to Connecticut in the next few years. But what an amazing run that the University of Connecticut is on right now. They are doing things at a historic level. Congratulations to them, no question. Moving over to the NBA, we learned that once again, yeah, three-pointers are being chucked up at an all-time rate. Once again, the NBA has set a record for three-pointers made for the 7th year in a row. After they hit their 25,808 three-pointer on Saturday 8, the league is on pace for about an 8% rise in three-pointers over just last season. And threes are getting made a staggering 57% more often than was the case just 5 years ago. The league record for total three-pointers attempted was already broken earlier in March with over 72,000 three-pointers being shot. The first season during which the NBA combined to make 15,000 three-pointers was back in 2009. We're up to 72,000 three-pointers now. They just hit 20,000 3 years ago. All of a sudden, three-pointers are the way to go. The NBA is shooting them at an all-time rate. We did also learn that the Los Angeles Lakers are shutting down LeBron James for the rest of the season. Granted, the Lakers only have 6 games left. They've been eliminated from the playoffs. So the Lakers are spinning the whole, hey, LeBron's groin needs some TLC. And honestly, what's the point of him hanging in there when the season is over anyways? They're not going to the playoffs. Who cares if LeBron plays or not? Well, I mean, there is the idea he could set the example to the young kids on that team that you keep working hard in adversity. But come on, we're way past lessons at this point, aren't we? You know what I want to see, though? I want to watch the energy level of the Lakers for the rest of the year. Do they just check out? Do they just say, forget it, LeBron's out, we're not going to the playoffs, let's just collect our checks and go through the motions? Or do we see this young group play a little bit harder now that the big man on campus is gone? I'll be honest. I've had no interest in watching the Lakers the last, I don't know, month or so. I kind of want to watch them now. They just sort of got interesting to me. I want to see how these young kids respond. Do they actually go out there and play hard with LeBron out of the lineup? I don't know. It might be a little bit interesting. Let's shift over to Major League Baseball, because one thing I learned in baseball this weekend. Yes, I know. Bryce Harper got booed in his first game in Philadelphia, but we knew that was coming. I mean, Philadelphia fans boo everyone, so that wasn't a big deal. And yes, he did end up launching that monster home run on Saturday, but I don't care about any of that yet. I mean, we're gonna be watching Philly and Bryce Harper all year, so that's not the big thing. What I learned from this weekend in Major League Baseball is that after declaring in spring training that he was the happiest he had been in 7 years, Chicago Cubs pitcher Yu Darvish was healthy, he was happy, he was ready to roll, and he took the mound on Saturday. And yeah, we learned Yu Darvish is not, in fact, ready to roll whatsoever. Darvish is now 32. He was pitching in a big league game for the first time since last spring when he went down with an elbow injury. He lasted a career worst 2 2/3 innings in his first start of the season. He walked a career high 7 hitters on Saturday. He threw 75 pitches and then he gave up a 2-run jack and Joe Maddon had to get him out of there. I know that a lot of times we look at guys like, say, a Yu Darvish or whatever. He's injured. He's going to sit out a full year. He's going to come back. He's going to be rested. He's going to be fine. He's actually going to be good as new. No, he's not. Darvish was so bad over the weekend. I don't know if you can even send him out again. I don't know if it rattled him. He might be done. You might have to, I don't know, go send him down to the minors or something, because it was clear on Saturday that Yu Darvish is not capable of being a major league pitcher. Not yet. He couldn't locate the plate. That's not good news for the Cubs, because they could be a sneaky contender in the National League. They're going to need a little bit more pitching though, and it doesn't look like they're going to get it from Yu Darvish. Finally, we did learn one last thing in the NFL. We learned that former Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Michael Irvin announced in an Instagram post on Sunday that the testing he underwent for throat cancer came back 100% clean. Kind of kept this close to the vest. We hadn't really heard much about this. But the Dallas Cowboys legend had written in an Instagram post last week that he spent 2 days in Los Angeles undergoing tests for possible throat cancer. On Sunday, he expressed gratitude for the outpouring of love, support, and prayers that he received from just all over the world. But Irvin said last week, after the Dallas Cowboys had beaten the New Orleans Saints in November, he was so elated. He was so hyped up after that win, he lost his voice and he couldn't get back. The problem persisted for almost 2 months. Now, think about Michael Irvin a little bit. For one, I mean, do you ever see that guy not talking? Second, though, that is how he makes his living now. He is on the NFL Network. He does a lot of speaking. What does he do if he can't talk? What does he do if there is an issue? So he had lost his voice for like 2 months. That prompted him to consult various throat specialists, and they recommended a biopsy. Irvin is now 53 years of age, and he explained last week that his father had actually died of throat cancer at the age of 51. Hey, that's pretty scary stuff. You know, Michael Irvin has been dealing with a lot these last few days. Really, really glad to hear that he now has a clean bill of health. Hey, Michael Irvin, crazy guy, but I do think he's a guy with a good heart, and I do think he's really, really good to keep around the game. He's got some great opinions on the game. He's a lot of fun to watch on the NFL Network. But you know, one thing I didn't realize, he had to have his throat checked out after cheering for the Dallas Cowboys in that win over the Saints back in November. Hey, I'll be real honest. I've suspected for years that cheering for the Dallas Cowboys makes you a sick individual. I didn't realize that was the literal outcome of cheering for that franchise. My goodness, I just thought it was like kind of a thing you say. Man, you gotta be sick to be a Cowboys fan. No, cheering for the Cowboys apparently genuinely makes you get sick. Glad to hear Michael Irvin is okay. Hey, tomorrow on the show, we will of course be bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of sports. And you know, we just might have to talk some March Madness this week. With the Final Four now set, we've got a number of things that I want to look at. You know, all year, we heard about how Duke just might be one of the great teams. Yeah, we might have to talk about some actual great teams tomorrow on the show. Got a lot of March Madness to talk about this week as we get ready for the Final Four that will take place on Saturday. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, thank you so much. It is the only way that we get new listeners. When you tell a friend, when you tell a coworker, when you tell a family member, hey, check out this show. It might be a little bit different than what you're used to in sports talk, but I think you're going to enjoy it. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Hey, if you're not subscribed to The Daily Dose, wherever you listen, please make sure you click that little follow or subscribe button. That way you won't miss a single episode. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Monday, and watch out for April Fool's Day.